Friday, the 8th of August, Zion Menachem Ov, Rabbi Yehuda Boris Lieberman, Perspectives on Parshas Devarim.
Imagine that you had the opportunity to overhear a conversation between three great Talmidei Chachamim, not Stam Talmidei Chachamim, I'm talking about Amoraim from the times of the Gemara, and they're talking about a certain place. They're discussing a place called Kfar Tzchanya Shel Mitzrayim. It's a place in Mitzrayim called Kfar Tzchanya. And they want to know not about the place itself, but rather about its inhabitants. What type of people lived in Kfar Tzchanya? And two of them come up with stories that illustrate remarkable levels of tzidkus. An incredible, incredible place. And you get the picture, and they get the picture as they're discussing it, of a city of tzaddikim. And as you're sitting there, you realize what's behind that conversation, because they come up with another question. And having established that they were tzaddikim, one of them asks, he says, if there was such tzaddikim, amai I anush, why were they punished? At the times, persecution, goyim were coming and killing Yidden, torturing Yidden, and Kfar Tzchanya was also succumbed to that plague. They were also included in that punishment. And the Gemara wants to know, if there's such tzaddikim, amai I anush, why were they punished? And you're sitting there at the back and wondering, what do you imagine the answer's going to be? What type of avarice are they going to dig up about this place? Tzaddikim? Yet, although they're tzaddikim, they're still punished. There must be some hidden avera. There must be something they're doing wrong. And the Gemara then, Gittin Daf Nun Zayin, comes up with an answer. And the Gemara says they didn't do avodah zarah, gilei aroeis, they didn't even speak lashon hara. It's not that they weren't learning or weren't davening, because they did. There was one problem. Mishum delo yi'avu al Yerushalayim, because they weren't mis'avu on Yerushalayim. And the message that that Gemara gives us is that a yid who's doing everything right except for Avedis in Yerushalayim has got a serious problem with their life. We find ourselves now, Erev Tisha B'Av, we find ourselves, Mamash, very close, 2 days away from Tisha B'Av. It's not just something that happens to fall out in this time of the year and we've got to deal with it. It's something that is central to our Avedis Hashem. We can be measured by how well we are misabel on Yerushalayim. And I'd like to look at one or two points, very simple points, but things that help us get a perspective on this Avelus, the Avelus of Yerushalayim. We know one of the interesting halachas about Tisha B'Av is that although it's a day of Avelus, a day of Tzar, a day of, well, when we sit, on the floor, Kamisha Meisei Mutar Lefanov, yet, all the same, we don't say Tachnun. Why don't we say Tachnun? Because Tisha B'Av is Ikri Moed, it's called a Yom Tov. How do you understand that? It's in the Shabbos afternoon, tomorrow afternoon. We won't be saying Tzidkotcha because it's just like any other Erev Yom Tov. And Erev Yom Tov, you don't say Tzidkotcha. And you think to yourself, what type of Yom Tov is this? Koronai Moyed, it's a Moyed. But what type of Moyed? Lishboir Bachurai. The Rebbein Shimon comes and takes the strongest and best of Klal Yisrael, the Bochum of Klal Yisrael, and he doesn't just hurt them, doesn't just punish them, he breaks them. He breaks their spirit. Koronai Moyed. It's a Yom Tov, and you know what this Yom Tov is about? It's the Yom Tov about destroying Bachurei Yisrael. It's very strange. One Hara, one Kasha. There's something else very interesting about Tisha B'Av, which is the progression that we began on Shavuot B'Tammuz and are continuing now. Start Shavuot B'Tammuz, a little bit of Avelus. There's no chasnas, right? No haircuts, a little bit of Avelus, no music, but it's not quite a serious Avelus. Then comes Rosh Chodesh Av, the normal years of Rosh Chodesh Av, where there's a little bit of Avelus, Avminik. Then Shavua Shechalboi becomes more severe. Then you get to Erev Tisha B'Av already. Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos is even more severe. And then you hit Tisha B'Av itself, the full Chumrah, the full severity of the Avelus. And that's because it's a reflection of what took place at the time of the Churban. Shavuot B'Tammuz, they've just surrounded Yerushalayim, they breached the walls, it began, and things got worse and worse. And if you picture what was taking place in Yerushalayim, it was getting worse and worse. They besieged Yerushalayim, they came in, they took over, and finally, the climax is when they destroy the Beit HaMikdash. So what actually happened on Tisha B'Av? They came in on Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av, they entered the Beit HaMikdash. And towards the end of Tisha B'Av, towards the end of the afternoon, they lit the Beit HaMikdash, it went up in flames, and it burnt through the end of Tisha B'Av and the beginning of the 10th. And we imagine then we get worse and worse. If we hit such a severity on Leil Tisha B'Av before they've begun actually burning the Beis HaMikdash, so towards the end of Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av afternoon should be yet another level of Avelus. What happens at Chatzis on Tisha B'Av? All of a sudden the pattern changes. Well, you know, this morning you couldn't sit on a chair, now you can sit on a chair. The lights go on in shul. All of a sudden we begin with Tivyas of Nechama, Nachem Hashem Elokeinu, we have Nachem in Mincha. You'd expect it to get worse and worse and worse. It does to a point, and at Chatzis it breaks, and all of a sudden, when the Beis HaMikdash, when the Goyim are coming in and actually destroying the Beis HaMikdash, that's when we say, okay, now we can start being Misnachim. That's something that begs understanding. What could that mean? How come there's a closeness to Avelus more and more and more? We get to the point, it breaks, and we change. There's a Medrash about this week's Sedra. It's not a coincidence that the first word of Megillas Eicha is Eicha, is something that comes up in other places, and one of the places it turns up is in this week's Sedra. We see it's not a coincidence because our minig is that we read that pasuk Eicha Esalavadi with a niggun of Megillas Eicha. Eicha Esalavadi. And the Medrash says there were three Eichos. There was the Eicha in our Sedra, says Amish Rabbeinu. Eicha Esalavadi Tochachem Masachem Verivchem. How am I going to tolerate all your squabbling, all your complaining, the tircha, the bother of leading a nation like you? That's one Eicha. There was another Eicha said by Yeshaya Anovi, Eicha Hisalazoina. How was it that Klal Yisrael, that was so respectful, has become like a Zoina, has become somebody who has no self-respect? And the final Eicha, of course, is Eicha Yirmiyahu, Eicha Yoshua Vadod. When he saw Klal Yisrael being punished, Yerushalayim being destroyed, he says, Eicha Yoshua Vadod, Ha'ir Abasi Om. How can it be that such a well-populated city now ends up, Levad, on its own, empty and desert? It's not the Medrash, there were three stages in Klal Yisrael's history. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Klal Yisrael when they were still settled, when they were a nation with a full strength, came out of Mitzrayim, everything was going well for them, and he said, Eicha Esolavadi. Yeshaya Anovi saw Klal Yisrael when they were doing Averis, and he said, Eicha Esolazoino. And Yirmiyahu saw us when we were caught. When we were caught and being punished, he said, Vachzusa, Yirmiyahu says, now look, Eicha Esolavadi. Eicha Yoshua Levod, Ha'ir Rabbasiyam. We have to understand this. What is the significance of Eicha? Without getting into the Medrash fully, one thing I hear from that Medrash is that central to the message of Tisha B'Av is one word, Eicha. If we're asking kashas of why Tisha B'Av is a moed, kashas of why the Avelus gets worse and suddenly better, there's another kasha. And that kasha is a kasha on Jewish history, a kasha that we all find ourselves asking sometimes, although we may not have experienced the persecution firsthand. But when you hear about what went on, there's one kasha, Eicha. How can it happen? You know, sometimes a person has a tzara, sometimes a person has something that's difficult, it's hard, but you know, you feel you can make it through. And sometimes the tzaras are so terrible, and we ask, Eicha, does this make sense? How can it happen? What's he doing to us? What's going on? And you look through the history of Klal Yisrael from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was so much pain, so much suffering. You think about the physical pushing, the physical pain that Yidden had been put through. Millions and millions of Yidden who went to their deaths, Al Kiddush Hashem, who were killed, who were tortured, who were chased out of their homes. From that time, right through in every country that we ever lived, we were persecuted, we were chased out, so we had years of tranquility, and then all of a sudden you had families, just picture it, families forced to leave their home, children ill, mothers dying, a whole, the end of this tragedy, until you get to the last Churban, to the Churban of Europe, to what took place in the war, and you read it, and you read what happened, and you stop and think, does the human mind have the capacity to just take in the overwhelming amount of information of Tsar, of Agnes Nefesh? Take just what one family went through. A person who's put through physical hard labor. People are living in bunkers with no food, no water, no air to breathe. A small family cramped in a bunker for weeks on end. So you think about it, it's unbearable. Eicha. How does the Rebbeinu Shalom do such things? You hear the stories that went on, and one story after another. You hear of the mother who had her twin boys taken away from her, 2 5-year-old boys, and she goes running after the truck, and she runs to the officers, "Please, give me back my boys." And the German officer looks at her with a cynical smile, and he says, "Fine, you can choose one." And the boys are scrambling at the back of the truck and are saying, "Mommy, take me, Mommy, take me," and she can't decide, and she suffers a nervous breakdown on this. Eich, how do these things happen? How can the Ribbono Shel Olam do that to us? That's the first kasha, the kasha of Eicha Yoshva Vador. How do these things happen? How can we drop from being such a normal, settled community, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in such shreklich atzav? And perhaps the shorish to this is an understanding of the way the Torah looks at the sugya of tshuva. Now that's not Elul, although they say that Av is Rosh HaTevis Elul Ba. From the, is a progression from Av to Elul. Starts with Tammuz, Zmanei Tshuva, Mashmashim Uvoim. Get closer through Av, where we start with the Shivat Shloshet Paranusa, and then the Shivat and Nechemta, then it takes us through to Rosh Hashanah. There's a progression from Av to Elul. But there's something you say this thing here, it's worth thinking about. Pashtus, simply speaking, Tshuva is just a normal arrangement between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's something that we know from day-to-day life. It's part of what happens when we have interactions with human beings. Usually we get on. Sometimes things don't go so well. And sometimes, you know, we make mistakes, or which is not the Seder. We do things that are really not right, and we offend somebody, we hurt their feelings, we violate their privacy. We do something that's wrong sometimes. You take something that's not yours. A person can do things that are wrong sometimes. Sometimes for major, and when that happens, we're left with hard feelings. There's a distance between us and the person that we've wronged. That's a normal situation. But we know that, Baruch Hashem, there's ways of making up. I offended you, I hurt you, I upset you, I'll come over, I'll say sorry, I'll make up what the damage, and hopefully, if you're a nice person, you'll forgive me, and we'll start again, we'll turn over a new sheet, and we're friends again. These things happen. They happen at home, they happen at work, they happen in shul. People, there's a friction, and we make up. Tshuva. Yet you look in Chazal, and you look in the Rishonim, when they talk about tshuva, they talk about it as if it's the most incredible, unbelievable chiddush. It's something that's such, you can't believe it. You know, the Ribbono Shel Olam was mechadash b'shas b'riyas ha'olam. When he created the world, he created a concept of tshuva. I said, what's a big deal? If we can make an arrangement between ourselves, if we can have a tshuva ben adam lechaveiro, why shouldn't there be a way of making up with Ribbono Shel Olam? I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, okay, you know, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Let's start a new slate, a new sheet. What's the chiddush of tshuva? Rav Chaim Volozhiner is a neurodigger vort, very well known vort. If one thinks about it, it's a neurodigger perspective on how the Torah views not just tshuva, but mitzvahs, averus, our whole relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he starts with the famous kasha that he asks on the Mishnah. It's really a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, but we say it on Shabbos afternoon when we're learning of it. We say, Kol Yisrael, yesh lahem chelik la'olam haba. How's that translated? Kol Yisrael, all Yidden, yesh lahem chelik, they have a portion. How would you translate it? La'olam haba? To olam haba. What would you expect the Mishnah to say? In Olam Haba, should say Ba'olam Haba. So the Torah says, Ki Yadua Zereb Chaim, that our vision of Olam Haba is not the way that Chazal saw it. We imagine that a person is put in Olam Hazeh and is faced with constant challenges, constant nisyonos. Should he do something? Shouldn't he do something? We don't want to get up, we're lazy, but we know that the Alpi Halacha, Alpi Mitzvah, Alpi Kedusha, we should get up, we should get up early, we should get up on time, everybody has their Madrega, how late do you get up, everybody has their Nisyonos of whether to get up in the morning. It's a Nisyon, and if we pass it, then what happens? We get a tick, we get a star on the chart. If a person's faced with a Nisyon, but on Chavera, yes to say something, not to say something, yes to get involved in an argument, not to speak Lashon Hara, not to speak Lashon Hara, we have a Nisyon, we're walking down the street, shouldn't we look at Nisyonos all the time? And there's Ribbono Shel Olam and I in Roya, and he's up there, and he's marking it. And either we get a tick or a cross. Sure. After 120, we get upstairs, and they open up the book, and they say, look, count up the ticks, and we count up the crosses. if you wish, they put it on a scale, and this is on one side, that is on the other, and then we see what the balance is, and if you make it through, then they give you a ticket, and they say go to the right, and if not, various visions, but basically you're down a chute and it's all over. That's the picture of Olam HaBa. But Pshat is, it's a credit system. You get points, and either you win or you lose. Either you get schar, those who don't succeed get punished, and those who succeed, those who Hashem go to Olam HaBa, they get schar. It's not wrong, but it's also not right. As the Mishnah says, Reb Chaim, schar mitzvah mitzvah, uschar aveira aveira. The reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself. The reward of the avera is the avera itself. So, Chaim Elojana, when a person does a mitzvah, what he's doing is creating a kedusha that then connects to his neshama. In the words of the Chafetz Chaim, the vision of the Chafetz Chaim in his Akdama, the Chafetz Chaim talks about the fact that a person has a ruchnias digger body. And if a person exercises the body correctly, then it's there, then it's chai, then it's healthy. The body, the ruchnias digger, the neshama that has its own 248 limbs, is covered by a physical body. It's clothed by a body, and therefore we don't see it. A person can have had a terrible limp, or can have lost his ability to speech spiritually. He may not be able to hear spiritually, and he won't know it. He'll go through life without a hearing aid, because his body can still hear, but the neshama can have been affected. And then after 120, when a person passes away and he's stripped off the body, he's left with just the neshama, and then we realize either how much we've achieved, how much we've developed the ruchnis of our neshama, the wholesome body of our neshama, or how much we're left, Rahman al-Islam, with a mum, with a problem, with a weakness, and a person can suddenly find himself in it. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is the pleasure of that kedusha that the person has created. Schar aveira, aveira, the Rebbeinu Shem doesn't have to punish anyone. Did you have to punish your kid? When you tell your kid, don't stick a screwdriver into the plug, and then he does it, and he gets tremendous electric shock, and you carry him to the hospital, does he look at you and say, why did you punish me? You didn't punish me. You didn't punish that kid. That's the matzias. The matzias is, if you mess with electricity, you'll get shocked. If you mess with fire, you'll get burnt. So if you mess with aveiros, you'll cause damage. And when we've caused that damage, then we're suddenly left with a situation, Rahman al-Islam, where a person has done something, has messed up, has actually affected the kedusha of his neshama, not just his neshama. The whole bria is affected by what he's done, and he finds himself in a mess, and he says, okay, I'm sorry, I want to change now. It's a bit late. The damage has been done. What do you mean you want to change? What do you mean you're sorry? Nice, fine, so from now on you won't do any more damage. But what are you going to do? Of them, the Rishonim, this is where the Rishonim come with their remarkable Kiddush. There's a sugya called tshuva. Somehow, there's a way back. In simpler terms, maybe. Let's go back to the first chet, the chet of Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon is told that you have an neshama kedusha. Adam Rishon's neshama was like no other. It had within it the neshamas of every other human being that would ever be created. And he's put there in Gan Eden. And the Rebbeinu Shem says, I've got a job for you. And your job entails one thing. Don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. There's a direction. There's some way you've got to get to. And you can only achieve that goal. You can only get to where you have to get to if you don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And for whatever reason, Adam Rishon has his Nisayon, the Nochash comes over, and he offers him a temptation, and he shows him, it's going to be, if you go this way, if you follow me, you'll end up where you really need to get to. Don't go that way, go this way. And Adam Rishon falls for it. And now, what happens, says Reb Chaim, it's not Pshat the Rebbeinu Shlomo's cross with him, that as well, but that's not the main issue. The main issue is that when he's eaten from the Eitz Hadas, there's no way he can get to his goal. You are traveling down a motorway, and you see a sign, you're not sure. And instead of stopping for a moment and thinking, should I be taking this exit? Should I not take this exit? You don't think, and you take the exit anyway. And you're going, you're driving, you suddenly realize it's wrong. What do you do now? You're stuck. You're stuck, you can't go back now. You're stuck, and you'll be driving there for a whole another 10 miles till you get to the next roundabout, and then you're going to go all the way back, and you get stuck in traffic. It's a long way back. You say, I'm only a few meters wrong. You missed it. You missed your turning. You've gone wrong. You're somewhere else. And if you're somewhere else, the way back can be long, and the way back can be very, very difficult. When the Rebbeinu Shlomo comes to Adam Rishon after that chet, does he say, Adam Rishon, how did you dare? How dare you do that? How dare you eat Eitz Hadas when I said not to? Is that what he says? No, he has one word. He says, Adam Rishon, Ayeko, where are you? Look where you are now. Where are you going? Where do you find yourself? Ayeko, where are you? And now the answer, if you're Ayeko, if you don't know where you are, you've taken Klal Yisrael. Adam Rishon is the engine that has the whole train behind him, the whole Klal Yisrael, the whole Bris Adam, every Yid, every guy, every human being is following that train. You've taken that train off somewhere else. Look where you find yourself now. And the only way back is Misa, is Yisurim, is Tzaris. Every aspect of every goddess that we've ever been through is a direct outcome of that wrong turning that Adam Rishon took. You've messed up, you've gone left. We've got to find a way back. The Chiddush of Tshuva is that there can be a way back. But we have to hear the time that when a person does a chet, when a person does an aveira, the question is not, oi, why did you do that? The question is, Ayeko, where are you now? If you ask, what is the theme? Look through this and ask yourself a question. What is the theme of Megillas Eicha? Go through the kinnis and ask yourself, what's the theme of the kinnis? There's various inyanim in the kinnis. Some kinnis that are just talking about the Milas of Yerushalayim. Some kinnis that describe the tzaras that Klal Yisrael went through in various tikkufos of their history. But if you ask what's the theme, and you look at most kinnis, you'll find there's one theme. And the theme is a theme called Tshuva. Tshuva is as much shaykh to Av as it's shaykh to Elul. In fact, in the Rishonim, when they're quoting Pesukim about Tshuva, you'd be surprised. You imagine they all come from Yeshaya and Yirmiyah's Musa Droshes to Klal Yisrael. There's a lot there, but there's almost as many in Megillas Eicha. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecho v'Nashuva is an Eicha. Nachbus Adrochenu v'Nachkeira is an Eicha. These are the classic Pesukim of Tshuva, and they're an Eicha. Because the message of Eicha is one thing to the kinnis. Zuchet! The superior. That's an Avera, and this is the direct pre. This is the fruit that grows out of that tree. It's not the Rebbein Shem coming down stam. It's the Rebbein Shem saying, look, this is my kinderlich. This is the way it is. And if this is the way it is, you've got to get back. You've gone off, you've got to get back. And the reason why the Rebbein Shem made a world that way, that when a person does things, there's results. That's the whole Tachlis Avera, so that we have an Isayim. But the real effect of those chataim, the real effect of the avirus that we do, is only felt in Olam Habo. It's an effect that hits the neshama, not the guf. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Barif Chastov, because he's a father, because he cares for us, because he's interested in us, when he sees us going wrong, and we've taken a wrong turning, and we're travelling down, and we're blissfully travelling, and the music is on, and the kids are singing, and you're driving down the motorway, and you haven't even chapti, you made a wrong turning. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam Barif Chasodov sends us something, and he tries to wake us up, and he hoots, and he hoots, and he hoots, and he hoots, and he says, Ayeko, where are you? But we don't necessarily hear him. The way the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives us these messages is with tzoros in Olam Hazeh. Spiritually, he tells us, you've caused the damage, you're off course. But it's too comfortable when you find yourself. You're driving down the five lanes in Altus Gewaldig. All of a sudden, things don't look so great. You start tooting, there's a crash, things are going wrong, and you wait, you look around, ooh, Ayeko, where are you? It's the same message. Eicha Yoshua Vadar, that question that he finds himself faced with. Eicha, how can this be? What's your question doing to me? Why so many tzoros? How can it be? The word Eicha can be read, says the Kinnis, says Chazal, Eicha can be read, Ayeko. It's the same message. How can it be? But Ayeko, where are you? How can you be where you find yourself? Come on, it's time to come back. It's the Eicha is the Rachmanus of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam showing us, Ayeko, you're off. And if you're off, I want you back. It's time to come back. Same message, but this is a physical form of that spiritual devastation that we ourselves have created. If we've gone off and we don't recognize it, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is there to wake us up and to bring us back. The message of Eicha, when heard in the context of an Ayeko, is the call of an Abba Rachamon, the call of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. I can't let you get further and further away from you. You're too dear. I don't want you to go far away. I want you to get back home. And the only way to reroute you is to give a clap and to say, Rabbi, say no, let's get back. Eicha, Ayeko. And if we hear that, of course, then we can get back to why Tisha B'Av is a Moyed. why Tisha B'Av is a Moed, a simple chat is because of the word Moed means a meeting, as an oil Moed where the Rebbeinu Shalom met Moshe Rabbeinu. Moed is a place of meeting and it's an oil Moed. And Moed is a time of meeting if it's one of the Yomim Tovim, one of the Moyadim. Moyadim are times when Klal Yisrael and the Rebbeinu Shalom get together and they meet. And normally we meet with a hug, with a kiss. But there's another type of meeting. And that meeting is a patch. And the Rebbeinu Shalom turns around to Klal Yisrael and says, I can't let you get any further. And he gives us a patch because he wants us back. Every Eichel has within it an Ayeko. It's a call, Kindalach, come back. And if you imagine a father who's in a situation where he sees his child misbehaving and he doesn't know, should he give the patch or shouldn't he give the patch? And he gets even more angry, more frustrated, and he's hoping maybe the kid will stop, but he doesn't. And eventually the fras comes. Until the point of the patch, what's building up is distance, is frustration, is anger. But once the patch has been administered, the feeling is on the contrary. Now he's coming back. Now the father opens his arms to welcome his child back. On Tisha B'Av, Taka, the Rebbeinu Shalom is getting closer and closer. Starts with Shavuot of the Tammuz. He's getting Kiviyochel more angry, more frustrated. How can they continue behaving this way? And the Ayeko is getting louder and louder and louder. It reaches a crescendo, reaches a height as the going come in and they light the Beit HaMikdash. But then the Rebbeinu Shalom is given the full message, and he knows that this message will ultimately hit us and turn us round. And when he turns us round, he's not giving a patch anymore. His hands are wide open. He's calling us back. At the second half of Tisha B'Av, as we hit Chatzis, we know where we're going. We're off. We're leaving Av. We're on our way back to Elul. And when we're on our way to Elul, if we've heard the Ayeko that lies within every Eicho, if we've heard the Rebbeinu Shalom begging us to come back, we've heard the Av, we've heard the Rachmonos, we've heard the Rebbeinu Shalom calling it, when you feel that, if the end of a person's Eicho is what the Pasuk says, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho V'Nashuva, Rebbeinu Shalom, we're stuck, we want to come back. The cry of Klal Yisrael, we want to be back, we want to be close, but we don't know how. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho V'Nashuva, when that's the end of Av, when that's the end of a Tisha B'Av, then it's Kulei Rachmin, it's Kulei Closeness. That's the time that we start the Nechama, and we hear that there's a direction that we can go back. But we just have to be aware, we have to be alive. I don't know if there's ever been a generation where Tisha B'Av is as difficult as it is nowadays. We're so comfortable. We have it so easy. We're in a country, a Malchus Shel Chesed, which we don't even see as a Malchus Shel Chesed, because we don't ever have a Menafaket. Obviously, Magelet, we deserve it. If something goes wrong, we sue. You know, what a chutzpah. We believe, we see ourselves as equal citizens. Where's the Golos? It's so hard for us to relate to Golos. But Be'emus, the Golos is there. Spiritually, we're in a very difficult situation. Anybody who's working on their davening, on their learning, on their Avodas Hashem, knows that we're struggling. We have a very, very difficult time of it. We're in Yiddish, they say, metap to them. We're climbing up a flat wall. We're trying to get someone. It's very difficult to achieve on any meaningful level in Ruchni. So the emes, we are struggling, but we don't necessarily feel it. And that itself is something that we have to work on to be ma'ir as ourselves. I'll never forget. Someone, a relative of ours, was Nifter in the prime of life. He was about 50 years old. He had a family of 9, 10 children. And all of a sudden, from 1 minute to the next, he had a heart attack and he was Nifter. And I went into the shiva. What do you say at the shiva? Well, you've got 5, 6, 7 little boys. 7 little boys in a line. None of them over bar mitzvah. And you know, in the next room, there's another 2 or 3 girls, and you sit there, we all sat there, nobody had anything to say. What do you say? People weren't mamish crying, but they were close. And you watch it through, and you think, never, you say no. And then the door opens, and Ruti came running in. Ruti was just 3 and a half, and she comes in and she says, Tilesha ran over to one of her brothers and says, look, somebody brought me a present, and she shows him a packet of balloons. At that point, there was nobody in the room with a dry eye. That's the Rachmanis. The Rachmanis is not the children who know that they had a father and have lost the father. The biggest Rachmanis is a child who's so young she doesn't even appreciate that she's a Yosema. She doesn't even know what she's lost. And that's our situation today. If we can't cry for not having the redemption, for not having the kirva, let's cry that we don't even know what we're missing. Let's cry for the fact that we're so unaware, we go through life so involved that we're not even in touch with the ruchness that we've lost, with the shechina that we're missing, with the closeness to Avinu Avraham and Satata, to withstand the Shemoneh Esrei and feel that closeness. And we should daven take it, because there's no other way to ask for Siyat Tishmaya, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecho Benoshuva. If you don't help us revenge and we can't, please help us get back. We should take it, Zeicher, that Atfilas of Tisha B'Av, or before Tisha B'Av, should help us to bring Mashiach, and we should be Zeicher to see him the Karim.